Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Other administrators and high officers began searching for a fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. Remember, Daniel was promoted. Daniel was promoted, and how many of you know when God starts promoting you, the devil's going to come after you? And I was able to share that with somebody this week. I don't know if it was at camp or after church on Sunday. I was able to share with a young person that the reason the devil's after you is not because necessarily he hates you, but he hates that God loves you, and he hates that God has put something in you. And so when you realize that the devil's really not after you because he hates you, it's because he hates God. Realize that if he hates God and he's coming after you, it is God's responsibility as our Father. We are his children to defend us. And so they came after Daniel, and they could not find a way to criticize or condemn him. Then the Bible says these three things about Daniel. He was faithful, he was always responsible, and he was completely trustworthy. It is those attitudes which literally brought the hand of the adversary against him, and people began to plot his demise. While God was planning the purpose and promotion of Daniel, the enemy was designing his downfall and the destruction of Daniel. But your faithfulness and your focus as a believer, church, will determine which of those future becomes your reality. Is it going to be a future full of God's purpose and promotion, or a future that is destined to be your downfall and destruction? It is your faithfulness and our focus that determines which one becomes our reality. But they could not find a fault in Daniel. Let us live a life, church and believers in the room and online tonight, that the enemy cannot find a fault in us. Let us live our lives in a way that Daniel did, where we worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship him when everybody's looking, but we worship him when nobody is looking. What and who we worship will always be an issue for the enemy. Remember, the enemy didn't have a problem when you were worshiping an addiction. The enemy did not have a problem when we were worshiping false gods or we were dead in religion. But the enemy did have a problem when that worship focused in on Jesus. When the love of your heart now was not directed toward things or other people or other institutions. But once we got our focus on Jesus, the enemy had a problem. The world and culture, I have noticed, never has an issue with what we worship and what we love until Jesus is the focus of that worship and love. In verse 10 of chapter 6 in Daniel, the Bible says, when Daniel learned that there was a law that had been signed, he did not change who he was. He did not change what he did. He went home and he knelt down as usual in the upstairs room. With its windows open, he went and found the highest place in his house, and he made sure the windows were open. Because when the law was signed that if you prayed or worshiped any other god except King Darius, Daniel said, I want everybody to know that I am not hiding my faith. I want everybody to know that there is one true God, Jehovah God, that I worship, that I pray to. And so he went to the highest place and he went to the most visible place. Can I encourage you? What your job needs is a vocal and a visible you. What your job needs is somebody who doesn't mind the Bible laying on the corner of their desk. What your job needs and what your family needs and what the public needs is a very public believer in us. So when Daniel heard that the law had been signed and that the penalty was death, what did Daniel do? He prayed. He went public with his faith as he always had. He made sure that God heard them, but he said, I want to make sure that when God hears me, that the world sees me. See, I want my faith and I want your faith to be visible, church. What I love about Daniel is before the law was signed, Daniel prayed and worshiped. After the law was signed with the penalty of death, Daniel prayed and worshiped. Daniel did what he always did. You know what I love about the people of Living Way Church? Is you will come to this altar and you will have tears stream down your face and your hands uplifted in worship, and you will worship God with reckless abandon, and you will jump and you will dance and you will sing, and you might have just had the best week of your life. But then the next week you will come with big tears streaming down your face, with hands uplifted to heaven. You will worship with reckless abandon. You will jump, you will dance, you will sing. And you might have just come out of the worst week of your life, but we cannot tell. Because why? God is always good even when life is not. God is always just even when life is not fair. So I will not change my faith, my prayer, my worship when life changes. Daniel did what he always did. King Darius signs a law stating that no one can pray or worship any god or human except Darius himself, or they would be thrown into the lion's den. Let's go to verse 11. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house, and they found him praying and asked for God's help. They were spying on Daniel. However, you didn't have to have binoculars or a telescope because he was praying in front of the window. The windows were open. He was not private about his faith. It should be an accusation against us when we know somebody for days, weeks, or months, and then they find out we're a Christian. They should know we're a Christian by what we do, by what we say, by what we refrain to do, and by what we refrain to say, by places we choose to not go and by places to go. See, I am a businessman, but everybody that does business with me finds out very soon that Sunday mornings from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., I am not available. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., I am not available. I've met people at my barn at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. I've met them at 5 a.m. on Sunday, but they know there is a place that is more important to Brandon than out here making a couple deals and making a couple extra bucks. And what I love about Daniel is he didn't hide it. He said, you come and find it, and you come and see me when I worship. He knew he was threatened with death, which begs these three questions, church. How do you respond when the enemy threatens you? Do you wilt or do you worship? Do you cower in the corner or do you puff out your chest, raise your head a little higher and say, devil, if you think what I've done has been something, you have not seen anything yet. And when you threaten me, it's going to make it worse for you. How do you respond when the enemy tries to intimidate you? Don't be intimidated by the adversary. I read a great quote that conjured up this quote in my mind: just because you're intimidated doesn't mean that I'm intimidating. And a lot of us are allowing a defeated devil, a foe that has already had his tail whipped 2,000 years ago, we are letting the foe that has been defeated, the enemy that is under our feet, we are letting that enemy intimidate us. And might I remind you that your Bible says at the end of the age, when we lay our eyes for the first time on the devil, we will say, is this the one that made nations tremble? I can't believe that we gave this one that much credit and that much hold and that much authority. Can I tell you, as a believer, you have everything to put the devil and keep the devil in his place. Don't let him intimidate you one more day. You worship your way, you pray your way, and make sure the devil knows, I am not intimidated by you. Third question, what will you be doing when the enemy shows up? Daniel didn't run home and start making his plan of how he was going to still be able to worship without anybody finding out, how he was still going to be able to serve God without anybody finding out. Remember, we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth still, because there are people who cannot gather like we are gathering here tonight, that they literally have to sneak around, and there is underground churches, China especially. They're not able to own Bibles. They're not able to have Bibles. If they are found to have a Bible, the penalty is as extreme as death. Some Muslim countries are the same way. So here we are, and we are living it out loud, but I want to encourage you. What are you doing when the enemy shows up? Are you whining? Are you gossiping? Are you complaining? Or are you saying, hey, God, I know you've got this, and I'm going to keep worshiping you through it all? When the enemy shows up to find fault with Daniel after the law has been signed, what do they find Daniel doing? He's praying and he's worshiping. Verse 12, so they went straight to the king and reminded him about the law that he had just signed. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. You know how I know this is just an attack on Daniel's faith and Daniel's belief in the one true living God? Because this was not a law from then forever. This was a law that was enacted for 30 days. It was a law that was literally put into practice, just or put into law, just to catch believers tripping. Can I encourage you that what you are facing today will not always be? The enemy is just tempting you. The enemy is trying to get you to trip. But if you can make it through, if you can make it through what the enemy has put in front of you, you are, praise God, coming out on the other side with a testimony. Daniel 6 shows us that King Darius was beside himself. When you read this story in the context of the totality of Daniel 1 through all the way through the end of Daniel 6, you can't put your finger on if King Darius is a friend or an enemy of Daniel. In one moment, he is promoting Daniel. In the next moment, he's putting laws into motion that could kill and end Daniel's life. You don't know where King Darius stands with Daniel. There's a lot of times, church, check this out, that the enemy will use not demon-possessed people, not demon-oppressed people, but the enemy will use well-meaning but misguided people. That's why sometimes the greatest enemy is not the one that hates your guts, but it's your BFF that doesn't know Jesus like you know Jesus, and unintentionally puts you in harm's way. Darius did not want Daniel to die, but it was by Darius' hand that a law was made, which leads me to this point. You better watch who you crawl into bed with. You better watch who you do business with, and you better watch who you sit next to at church. But just because they like you doesn't mean that they have the best goal for you or best destiny in their mind. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Let's speed it up just a little. So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested. Darius didn't want Daniel to be arrested, but he is held now to the law that he had signed. Daniel has to be arrested and thrown into the den, verse 16 says. The king said to Daniel, this is our original text, may your God, how you handle the lion's den decides whether your God becomes their God. That makes me handle my lion's den seasons with a little more seriousness, church. Because that means I have heathens and unbelievers, or I have cold and lukewarm believers watching how I react to the lion's dens of my life, how I react when laws and things are passed that are not fair to me, that are not fair to us, how I react to the intimidation of the enemy, how I react to the enemy's hand coming after my life. And he said, may your God, my goal at the end of every lion's den is when I come out that my God would become their God, that they would see the faithfulness of my God, that they would see the power of my God, that they would see that my God never rests, he never slumbers, he never steps out on me. His eyes are always looking to and fro for a place to show himself strong in the believer's life. And I want to encourage the parents in this room. You've got little eyes watching you. I want to talk to the spouse that your spouse is not saved right now. You've got people that you love. Their eyes are looking at you. You've got co-workers' eyes looking at you. How you are going to react to what the devil has brought against you. And I'm here to tell you, if you will handle the lion's dens of life with faith and with trust and with all allegiance to Jehovah God, then I promise you your testimony is not only that God brought you through, but when God brought me through, he brought a lot of people to him in the process. Bishop shares a story 30 or 35 years ago of a woman here at Living Way Church who was going through an incredibly painful and messy and ugly divorce. And one of her co-workers watched her as she went through that, and she would confide what was going on. And Bishop had a chance to meet that coworker when that coworker came to Living Way, and she said, I don't know much about Living Way, and I don't know much about this church, but what I do know is that your member so-and-so just went through one of the most trying times of her life, and I never saw her faith waver. I never saw her love for God waver. I never saw her trust in God, even when she didn't like what she was going through. And that was a testimony to her coworker who ended up coming to Living Way and finding Jesus on her own just because she watched somebody handle their lion's den in with faith. It's an amazing thing. So Daniel, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. The faithfulness of Daniel was visible. I love this. May your God, whom you serve so faithfully. Daniel's faith was so visible that a king that was drunk on his own power recognized in him there is something different about you. Can I encourage you that wherever you walk tomorrow, wherever you leave to go to after this service, let your faith in God be visible, meaning this, it cannot just be words on a Wednesday night. It has to be actions of obedience every day of our lives. Verse 17, I love the typology here. For us New Testament people, we know what this means. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. I'd never realized this in this context or thought of this, and this is just the way preachers' minds work. Every time in the Bible when a stone is laid over a grave or laid over a cave, you know a miracle's about to happen. And I go back to this old point that I've preached when we've been talking about planting. The devil thought he buried you, but he just planted you. The devil thought you were dead and gone, but he didn't know that he planted you, and in just a few days, that seed is going to break open and fruit is going to grow. New life is going to spring up. You can count the days and the hours when the devil buries you and puts the stone over the cave. It is just a matter of time before the resurrection life of Christ is given and is unleashed. In that moment, the stone was brought, placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Can I take you back to verse 16? Remember, he said, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. Somebody say rescue. Now here at the end of verse 17, he seals it with his ring so that no one could rescue Daniel. Somebody say rescue. I love this. King Darius makes it so that when Daniel walks out of the lion's den in about 12 hours, that it would be so obvious that this did not happen because of a man, but Jehovah God had inserted himself into the situation and had delivered Daniel. I want to declare to those online and in the room tonight, and everyone within the sound of my voice, the situation you are facing might seem dire. You might be up against the wall. You might be outnumbered. You are outgunned. It doesn't seem like a fair fight, but I've come to let you know on a Wednesday night, it is a setup for the glory of God to show up in your life. You are coming out, and the only way you're coming out is because God is coming in. God is getting ready to invade. God is getting ready to insert himself into your situation and into your lion's den, and I've got good news. He did it for Daniel, and Jesus is still in the miracle working business. It's a setup. Darius seals the cave. It might as well be a tomb. He said, I'm doing this to prove that no one helped you, that your friends didn't move the stone, drop a rope, and pull you out. But Daniel said, go ahead and seal it, because I want there to be documentation that when I walk out of here in the morning, it wasn't by man's hand. It wasn't because I knew somebody in the king's palace. The only reason I am alive today is because God stepped into the faith that I've been praying about and building. Somebody say amen. Verse 18, this is where it's hard to find out, Darius, is he friend or foe? Verse 18, then the king returned to the palace and he spent the night fasting. Don't fast now, Darius. You're trying to kill the brother. And now you want to fast? And here's the other thing. Who is he fasting to? What is he fasting about? Fasting only works with Jehovah God, the God of the universe. Fasting without Jesus is a diet. And we know all too well how we feel about diets. There's a reason why those three letters are the first in diet. D-I-E. He refused his usual entertainment. He couldn't sleep at all that night. Darius, why are you acting this way? You're the one who did this. Very early in the next morning, verse 19, the king got up, hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, listen to what he says. Listen to how he describes him. Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you served so faithfully. There it is again. Was he able to rescue? There it is again. You from the lions. This is the second time that he has talked about the faithfulness of Daniel. He said, servant of the one living God. Servant, he said, I see your service. I see your faith. And he said, I need to know, does it work? Does it work? And Daniel answered. In my mind, Daniel's riding one of the lions. Got a handful of lion mane. I mean, Steven Spielberg couldn't put it together any better. They take the stone out. Darius is leaning, looking into the cavernous hole. Daniel, servant of the living God, whom you are faithful to, did he rescue you? He says, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. Can I tell somebody today, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter their accusations. What Daniel said is true. I live a life that is holy and acceptable to God. I have been found innocent in his eyes. I have been found pure in his eyes. And so he showed up and shut the lion's mouth. You know how irritated the lions are that they can smell David, but they can't open their mouth? This is the perfect illustration of Isaiah 54:17, church. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Can I encourage you to highlight, underline, circle the last part of verse 17, because we always stop prematurely. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Remember the servant? He said, Daniel, servant of the living God. He said, this is the heritage. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. But I want to go to Isaiah 54:17 in the Amplified version. No weapon that is formed against you will succeed. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. Then I love this. This peace. Somebody say peace. Righteousness, somebody say righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage or the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And check this, and this is their vindication from me. That's from God, says the Lord. Somebody should tell the enemy to shut their mouth today. He's been talking too long. He's been running his mouth. I wish Eve had been able to see this story before she talked to the serpent. Anytime you talk to the serpent, you're going to lose. Anytime you converse, you're going to lose. It should be a one-way conversation. I've always said it should be a monologue, not a dialogue. Devil, get behind me. Devil, get under my feet. Devil, shut your mouth. I am a servant of the Most High and Living God. I have an inheritance that is mine because I serve God. I am faithful, and God is going to shut your mouth. You might look me in the eye, but you won't be able to take a bite out of me. You might be able to smell me. You might be able to come right up to me, but you're not going to be able to eat me. The king was overjoyed in order that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch. Here's the testimony, church. Not a scratch was found on Daniel, for he had trusted in God. Here's one of Daniel's many testimonies. Write this down. You don't look like what you've been through. And that's why we've got to open our mouth about our testimony, Sister Chris. Because I don't look like everything that I've conquered, everything that I have been through, everything that I live to tell the story of how good God is. You don't look like the cancer that tried to drag you down. You don't look at the addiction that tried to take you out. You don't look at all like all the stuff you've been through. Not a scratch was on him. And the Bible says he didn't have a scratch because of one thing, because of his trust in the Lord. See, some of us, we are trying to circumnavigate the lion's den. God said, how about I just show up in the lion's den with you? We close the enemy's mouth and we give you one of the greatest testimonies of all time. Daniel is lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him. Verse 24. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. Daniel didn't have to have them tried. Daniel didn't have to get vengeance or revenge on them. King Darius said, go find those men and throw them into the lion's den along with their wives and their children. Man. The lions leaped on them. This is straight from your Bible. Daniel lived in the lion's den all night long. The Bible says their bodies were torn apart before they even hit the ground. As they're being thrown into that cave, those lions are leaping up and snatching them out of midair, dead before their bodies hit the floor. So many times, and I've seen this to be true, and I think you will too in the closing moments of this message, that the very things, or sometimes the very people that come against you, what they had planned for you, it turns on them. These men went to great lengths to make sure those lions hadn't been fed for days. Went to great lengths to plan this law to be signed that anyone who only worships Jehovah, anyone who prays to someone other than King Darius, they're going to be fed to the lion. Went to all this. They entrapped David because David was worshiping publicly, praying publicly. They went back to king and said, I know he's your friend, but you signed this under law and the king had to do it. And here, as Daniel is lifted up, the king said, go find those men. And while we have the cave open, go ahead and throw them. I'm here to tell you, don't sweat your enemies. Vengeance is not yours. Vengeance is God's, is what the word says. And so I'm not trying to get over on my enemies. I'm not trying to get even with my enemies. I'm just trying to pursue God and his purpose and his plan for my life. I'm not worried about what they said about me. I'm not worried about what they had planned against me. I'm going to let God even everything out. I'm just going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep praying. What I was doing before the den, what I was doing in the den, that's what I'm going to keep doing outside of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation, verse 25, and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity be to you, he says. Two more points I want to make before we finish out this chapter. On this side of the lion's den, there's two things that we've been preaching about for 6 weeks. It's preparation and it's prayer. If you wait until the lion's den to prepare, you have waited too long and you will be devoured. When you are in a battle, it's not time to learn how to wield your sword. In times of peace, in times of preparation, that's when you begin to build your arsenal. Learn how to use those weapons. Learn what intercession is. Learn that prayer is more than just over your food and when you need something, but prayer is dialogue with the Almighty, and he inserts and deposits and downloads things into your life, into your brain, into your spirit. Tuesday night was a night of worship. And I'm so grateful that we had 200 or 300 people here last night. But the Sunday crowd wasn't here. But there was people here Tuesday night on their face before God, prepping and praying, saying, God, it doesn't matter what comes my way. I have a relationship with you, and that will stand the test of time. So on this side of the lion's den, we must prep and we must pray. And if you prep and pray, you come through the lion's den, and on the other side of the lion's den is what the king declared, peace and prosperity. Some of us want the peace in the prosperity of God. And remember, prosperity is so much bigger than dollar signs. Prosperity is more than you need in every situation of life. Some of us want the peace and the prosperity of God, but we don't want to have to go through the lion's dens of life. But I'm going to tell you what makes peace and prosperity so valuable to us in our life is what we went through. That we did not waver, we did not falter in our faith, but we kept our eyes locked in on Jesus. And as you sit here tonight, some of you are on this side. It's time to prep. It's time to pray. It's time to stir up the gift. It's time to let the Holy Spirit help you become what you need to be for where God is going to take you through. But then there are some of us that are in the lion's den, and I'm here to tell you, you are just a few moments away from the greatest season of prosperity and peace that you have ever been in. Stand on your feet. I want to encourage somebody with this word. It's not in my notes, but I feel like it needs to be said. I always find myself in one of two places: between miracles or between lion's dens. So I prep and pray. I'm in the lion's den. God is faithful and brings me through. Now I'm in peace and prosperity. But check this out. When I'm in peace and prosperity, I'm already prepping and praying for the next. And then I'm in that situation, that storm, that valley, and I prepped and I prayed, and the peace and prosperity makes my prayers more intentional, makes my preparation, and I come through this, and now I'm in a season of peace and prosperity I didn't even know could exist. But in this season of peace and prosperity, I don't rest on my laurels. I don't rest on what God has done. I prep and I pray for my next, because there will always be a next. There will always be another lion's den or fiery furnace. Three more verses for your reading tonight. This is not Daniel saying this. This is King Darius. Remember when King Darius said, "Your God," but we wanted our God to become his God? Listen to what he decrees. "I decree," this is Darius, "everyone throughout the kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end." Remember that word rescue? "He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and here on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus and the Persian. What I love about the end of this story, the greatness of God, listen to this, church, was so evident, Daniel never had to open his mouth to testify. The one who tried to kill him became his greatest testifier. The one who literally said, "Throw him in the lion's den," is the one that stood there and said, "There's no God like Jehovah." We know that prophets would say that the government will rest on his shoulders, and to that government there will be no end. It was Darius, who did not know Jehovah, who said he will rule forever and his government, his kingdom, will never end. I'm here to tell you that if you will handle the lion's dens of life and say, "I'm coming out of this lion's den with my faith intact, with my worship intact, with my prayer life intact." And I'm not telling you not to open your mouth. I'm just going to tell you that God's going to do something so extravagant in your life that the people that were your biggest critics, your biggest enemies, the ones that tried to kill you, will be able to say, "You know what? I never really liked Brandon, but his God is good. His God did exactly what Brandon said he would. He was faithful through it all. The lions didn't kill. He shut them. He is the first one to ever live through the night." I want to open this altar right now for people that are between lion's dens. I want to open this altar for people who are in a lion's den, and you're in one of two seasons. You're in the prep and prayer season, or you're in the peace and prosperity season. But remember that peace and prosperity season is the next. It's for the next. Come on, Daniel, keep praying, keep worshiping, keep digging in. Don't give up, don't give in. I know there's some adversity that you're facing. I know there's some things that have come against you. I know some people have tried to sell you out. I know some people have put a knife between your shoulder blades. I know people have tried to attack you because of your faith, because of your belief. I know family members don't understand your faith. They said the same things about Daniel. But Daniel was a worshiper. Daniel knew it's not his family and friends that are going to be there in the lion's den, but it is God himself. And so now it's time to prep. It's time to pray. The men and women that are in this altar already today, I encourage you right now to close your eyes, to lift a hand or both hands to heaven, and just press into this moment right now. Right now, you hear the word of God, but right now, you're going to obey at a great level in Jesus' name. Obedience caused you to leave your seat. Obedience caused you to come to an altar and lift hands. Obedience caused you to get in your car and drive to church today. But ever since this service started, you've been taking another step of obedience and another step of trust. For those of you in this altar right now, that's what you've done. It's been another step of obedience. It's another step of trust. Remember, Daniel was faithful. He was responsible. He was trustworthy. The faithfulness of God demands faithfulness from us. And as your faithfulness grows in this moment, as you look to God saying, it doesn't matter what I'm facing, it doesn't matter what's facing me. You might be nose to nose with the biggest, baddest lion that you've ever faced. But I want to remind you, Isaiah 54:17, the weapon might be formed, but it will not prosper in Jesus' name. It will not succeed. You are a child of God. Your inheritance is one of peace, joy, and righteousness. God, I pray right now, and as they begin to anoint you, our pastoral team and prayer team is going to begin to anoint you and begin to pray. I'm going to ask that our prayer team go ahead and come on down and start helping us pray in the name of Jesus. Brother Tom, Sister Lydia, I know you're sitting up close tonight, which I love. I love when you're in the room, but I love when I can see your face. If you'll come down and help us pray as well. These are two incredible pillars of this church. They're very quiet, but you talk about some strong faith. In the name of Jesus, I want us to start laying hands. I want us to start encouraging. I want us to pray the prayer of faith. In Jesus' name, I see tears streaming down faces. In the name of Jesus, woman of God, I don't know if we've ever met before, but God needed you to be here tonight. God brought you here tonight. And the world has tried its best to take you out. The enemy has tried his best to discourage you, to depress you. But right here tonight, the faithfulness that Daniel exhibited is the faithfulness that is being born and birthed in you today. God, all eyes are on you tonight, Jesus. Lord, she can't do it on her own. And so like Daniel, she gets in the posture where she is directing her faith towards you, Jesus. With hands uplifted, she is receiving you into her life, God. Lord, right now, as we lay our hands on those in this room, they are Daniels with a testimony in the making. They will live and not die. Their testimony, God, will be heralded, God, all across this city, all across this nation, God. Your faithfulness, God, remains. If you're in this house today, if you're watching online tonight, I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. Last night, leading Jasmine to Jesus with 8 or 10 of Living Way's best, I love what God is doing here. This is a house of salvation. Every time we have a service, a worship experience, tonight, Pastor Manny and her team are ministering to about 85 or 90, 4 to 12-year-olds. They're going to give an altar call tonight. Young people are going to receive Jesus tonight. 120 youth received Jesus 9 days ago. This is a moment in time where salvation needs to be preached more now than ever, that Jesus is the only way. He's the only answer. So if you're tired of running from the lions, if you're tired of fighting the lions, that's not a fair fight. But when you get Jesus, you get the lion from the tribe of Judah. And the fight is no longer fair, but it flips the other way. If you need Jesus, this is your moment. If you want to be baptized in water, this is your moment. If you want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, like 142 were 1 week ago tonight, this is your moment. If you're sick, if you're addicted, if you're broken, if you're confused, if you've got questions, if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, this is a moment for you to come to this altar, surrender to Jesus, and let us pray the prayer of faith for you in your life.